For anyone who loves the outdoors in Colorado Springs, Ring the Peak isn't just a trail, it's a vision. It's a connected loop around Pikes Peak that links our communities, our open spaces, and our iconic landscapes like never before. On the next Paddle the Springs, we're talking about a huge win for our region. A local organization has just announced a $2.5 million grant to help move Ring the Peak to completion.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
Welcome and roll on in to the Paddle the Springs podcast, where we banter about all things biking in Colorado Springs and the Pikes Peak region. I'm your host, Tori Giffen, owner of the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort and self-appointed ambassador for cycling in the Springs. And what I don't know about biking in this area, my friends do. And here are today's guests. We have Connor Borkowski. He is the Special Projects Coordinator for the Pikes Peak Outdoor Recreation Alliance, or PPRA is a lot more simple. How we call it locally. Welcome, Connor.
Thank you for having me.
ER, I know that now.
Yeah.
I bet you get that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And it's my middle name, so I get a whole lot of other names, too.
Okay. Yeah. In front or behind your back? No, I'm kidding. Just teasing. We could cut that. And Nick Ponzer is a veteran of the cycling industry and special counsel advisor to Pikes Peak Outdoor Recreation Alliance. Welcome, Nick, my good buddy.
Oh, thanks for having me again. Yeah.
It's good to have you back on the show. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, you know, as one of my original investors in the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, and thank you so much for helping me purchase my dream. It will be 10 years this summer.
That's exciting.
That we're celebrating our anniversary, and you helped make that all happen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That vision and part of my business plan came from things that I was seeing in Colorado Springs and just moving the needle as a bicycle-friendly destination, the connectivity of our trails and things like that. But then there was this golden nugget that I heard Governor Hickenlooper say, and that was in 2016 that he had his 16 projects that he was going to see through to completion. And one of those was Ring the Peak. And so the concept of opening a bicycle resort at the base of Pikes Peak, I mean, literally just minutes away from the entrance, became like really big. Like, I've ridden up and down Pikes Peak. I know that you can mountain bike down the Plummet, but the idea that we would have this 63-mile connected or metric century connected loop around the base of Pikes Peak, I knew that was going to be big for our community. And if he could make that happen, that was going to be huge.
Right.
And it's 10 years and I haven't heard much. I've heard that we have a lot of properties that, you know, with the stakeholders that we have to get involved in this conversation. A lot of people want it, but there's still a lot of work to do. And I didn't know who was doing that work. And then I started hearing about some of the efforts of the Pikes Peak Outdoor Recreation Alliance, and not just promoting outdoor activities in the Pikes Peak region, but advocating for our open spaces and expanding those. And then mic drop. What was it? Just like last month, they made the announcement we got $2.5 million. And it could be up to $10 million, if I understand correctly, over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 years, maybe, or 10 years, could be?
Maybe, yeah. I think, so this grant—
To actually do this project.
To do this project, there's a lot more investment that needs to come, but this is a great start, a lot of good momentum to build. And to throw in there on the history, too, of a lot of momentum has already been built by a lot of our partner organizations, Trails and Open Space Coalition, MedWheel, like a lot of people have done a lot of great work to get us to this point. And now it's a pretty big honor for PPRA to be the next big step in the right direction.
Where did this money come from and what is the idea behind it?
Yeah, in Colorado, we have this regional partnership initiative, which was started 4 or 5 years ago. And it really was a way for the state, so Colorado Parks and Wildlife, to figure out what the local initiatives and priorities are across the state. So they've been working on trying to build regional partnerships across the state. PPORA is the host of the one here in Colorado Springs, El Paso, Teller, and Fremont County. And that program has always had some kind of funding. And last year was the big announcement from GOCO of we're committing basically $10 million every year for the next 5 years to regional partnerships to complete their vision plans and really have some support beyond just let's convene regional partnerships, but how do we actually get this work done? And so ours was one of the first to be in that kind of big funding pool, and that was $2.5 million, which was the upper limit of what we could ask for. And we're pretty grateful that we got all that for our region.
Who asked for the money?
Yeah. It's a lot of money. There's a lot going on. And that's what a regional partnership is. We're bringing together people like PPORA. We get to be the intermediary between the state and all of our partners. Really, truly, a lot of this wouldn't have come together without incredible work. And at the end of the day, a lot more work from partners because PPORA doesn't have a trail crew. We're not land managers. We don't own any land. So how can we partner with all of these organizations that do have the knowledge, do have the facilities and resources, and how can we build that up to keep making some forward steps?
Now, Nick, as a veteran of the cycling industry and longtime business owner in Colorado Springs, when you heard this, what'd you think? Did you know it was coming?
I think the initial thought was finally. I mean, decades now since I first got to Colorado Springs in 2004, there's been talk about getting Ring the Peak done and just no momentum whatsoever. It's a complicated process because there's so many stakeholders, so many different land management organizations and private landowners and stuff that you have to deal with and get on board. And then you've got to actually get those permissions. Then you got to build the trail. You've got to, in this particular instance, also set up like camping areas and everything, because for a lot of people, this trail is a multi-day kind of thing. It's not like they're whipping one loop hot lap out there in a day kind of thing. It's like they're going to stop along the way, whether they're hiking, biking, whatnot. So there just wasn't anyone to push it along until PPORA, really, because PPORA, again, brings together those land managers. It brings together those trail organizations. It brings together stakeholder groups and everything into the same room to discuss things. And then when GOCO came along with the funding, Becky and PPORA put together a grant application to
Becky, the executive director.
Right. Sorry.
Becky Lineweber.
And wouldn't you know it, we got it because, again, it was on the governor's radar in 2016. It's been talked about. It's definitely one of those things that we know will create a big draw. But there was no one willing to take the ball and run with it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, now we have that.
And I can add a little bit, too, of Trails and Open Space Coalition, I think 5 years ago, did a master plan for Ring the Peak. An awesome planning initiative. Yeah. But one of the things that PPORA realized in this planning process for the regional partnership was part of the reason that wasn't moving forward was getting all the land managers in the same room. And so that's been a big piece that we've been able to help push along. And like last year, 8 of the public land managers came together and wrote a letter of intent to explore what kind of partnership would look like with CPW to help bridge some of those gaps too, which I think has been a pretty crucial piece in moving this conversation forward.
Why is this such a big deal? What is that experience and what does that mean for our community? Who's going to come and do this?
Well, you look at a lot of the places that have a big either cycling or hiking or trail running draw, and they all kind of share in common the fact that they've got some big epic bucket list kind of trail. With Moab, they've got White Rim Trail, which is a 104-mile loop through Canyonlands National Park that's beautiful. I've done it in a day. It's a really long day.
Like, of course you have.
Yeah, yeah.
How many time Ironman triathlete are you? Yeah.
So it's doable. It's a really long day. But most people camp along the way, and they've got camp areas, and you have to get a permit, and they've got little pit toilets along the way and like camping areas along the way. And people come from all over the world to do it. Same with, they also have Kokopelli Trail. They're either a start or end point of that. It's a point to point that goes from Fruta to Moab. And that's another one that like is an iconic just... I mean, bucket list trail for people who want to like do multiple day, like bike packing kind of trip. And then with trail running, like UTMB, which is one of the world renowned ultra races that has a trail around Mont Blanc out in France or whatever. So, you know, there's these big iconic like loop trails or out and backs. And that's something that brings people out. And then for hikers, Appalachian Trail, Pacific Crest Trail, you know, these month or 2 month, 3 month long like journeys that people go on, all the towns along the way where people stop and when they're doing these epic hikes all receive a lot of that kind of money from essentially hiking tourism or whatever. The cooler thing about a loop style is you start and finish in the same place. So logistically for people, it's easier. They don't have to find transportation back from the end to where they started or anything. So that's really cool. And it's on a mountain that's really iconic, that is sort of our claim to fame in many ways,
you America's know, Colorado,
right? America's mountain, right? Yeah. So to do a metric century around that on trail is like just a super cool thought that I think will be on a lot of people's radar once it's done. People from all over, not just the US, but the world. And it'll be a draw for sure.
So while you can already ride up and down the road, or for the extreme double black diamond mountain bikers, you can pedal down the plummet, right? For mountain bikers. Yeah. How is this different? I mean, this brings out a whole different type of athlete, actually. It's a whole new audience, right?
For sure. Yeah. It's for the person who's aspirational. They want something that motivates them to train, that is like a goal kind of thing, because it's a physically challenging thing. You know, it's not flat by any stretch of the imagination. It's not all downhill. There's a lot of climbing and descending, all up above 10,000 feet, basically.
And multi-user.
And multi-user. So, I mean, whether you're hiking it, running it, biking it, whatever, it's a challenge. And that's the people that it brings out. And there's a lot of those in like outdoor tourism. There, it's that aspirational part of it. I want to set a goal for myself. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing and attracts people to events like a rag bribe. It's, oh, I want to set this goal for myself to complete this thing that's going to be a challenge. And it's the same thing with the racing that I do and stuff like that. You do it because you want to test your limits and set some goals and stuff. So I think that's going to be what the draw is and the people that it draws.
I've been saying this because I've now owned the bicycle resort here for 10 years and I see the tourists coming to cycle here. And I know that what we already have here from everybody I've talked to on all the Paddle the Springs podcasts and episodes, everybody says that like, we are a world-class bike destination. I mean, the variety of different types of cycling that you can do here and the different types of trail, the variety of terrains that we have, and then the epic experiences like being able to go up and down Pikes Peak or through Garden of the Gods make us a top-tier world-class bike destination. This seems like it's going to make it explode.
Yeah, I mean, this really starts to galvanize that claim, you know, because up until now, yeah, we have a lot of trails for sure and good trails. But when you're talking about a world class, when you're using that designation and you look at some of the world class places like a Whistler or something like that, or a Moab, you need all of the pieces together. And having one of those epic kind of rides is one of the pieces of the puzzle. That will be cool to finish that out. To get the Quarry Bike Park going would be having a bike park is part of it. We've got a couple pump tracks in town already. That's cool. We've got plenty of trail that's already rideable. Having a wide swath of different skill levels of trail also, and the accessibility of it we have already, which is great. Most of those destinations you can ride from town. But yeah, getting all of those pieces put together and then promoting it is a big part of the whole, like, actually becoming it.
Promoting it. That's what I'm really big on right now is that I feel like I'm like Horton Hears a Who saying, we are here, we are here. That's the little bicycle resort at the base of the mountain. Right. And I would like to get every hotel in town, every business, every event saying, this is a great place to bike, bring your bike. And that the more of us that are doing it, the better it will be for our community. Because as you know, what does this do for our economy? Because I like quoting you. You said, I like quoting you. You said, if a podunk town like Fruta, a $14,000, I'm sorry, Nick, of 14,000 people in Fruta can bring in like what, 53.2 somewhere around there, million dollars in cycling related revenue. Imagine how that would scale for a city like Colorado Springs. Yeah. I mean, talk about that.
I think I said beautiful podunk town is my exact quote. Yeah, maybe. No. But here's the thing, the advantage that we have, right? A lot of these cycling destinations, like a Moab, a Fruta, Bentonville, they're not that big. They're cool little towns. They've got tons of riding, great riding. But
no place to stay.
Well, yeah. When you think about a cyclist who's a cycling tourist and what their day looks like when they're at some place that they're staying, they get up, they go to a coffee shop and buy some coffee and some breakfast or whatever. And then they go ride for a few hours, 2 to 5 hours. And then they're done riding for the day and they got to take up the rest of the day doing something. And there's not a lot else to do in a Moab or a Fruta. It's a tiny place. There's a few restaurants. There's a couple of pubs and coffee shops. And that's about it. Like, here, we're a legit city. Like, we've got tons of movie theaters and mini golf courses.
Arts.
And we've got art museums. And we've got
live music venues.
I mean, yeah, all sorts
of
stuff.
Newport Amphitheater.
Right.
And, yeah.
And we've got, I just was at a concert at Pikes Peak Center over here a couple nights ago. And so we have all of this activity stuff already here for people to do. They can go to Garden of the Gods. They can go to the Olympic Museum. They can go all these things and entertain themselves when they're not riding and spend money. There's tons of places to spend money.
Yeah.
And you didn't even mention the airport. We get compared to, I think, or compare ourselves maybe more to Denver, where the airport to the mountains is what, an hour and a half minimum.
Yeah.
And here you can hop off a plane and in 45 minutes be at the front gate of the Pikes Peak Highway. That is a crazy thing that I don't think we tell that story well enough regularly of just forget access once you're here. Getting here is easy.
Yeah.
I love our airport. It is so sweet.
It's, like, I would so much rather fly out of there. It's so simple. But that's the thing is we forget that bicycle tourists aren't just riding, right? Like they also want to do a ton of other things while they're here. But the cool thing is a bicycle tourist is going to stay for a while. A lot of the tourism stuff that we've focused on as a city, like the Olympic Museum and stuff like that, it's a cool thing and people will come in, but people will drive in, they'll see it, and then they'll keep driving to whatever the next town is to stay the night or whatever. But with cycling tourists, they want to ride all the trail or a lot of the trail. It'd be a real long trip if they're going to ride all the trail here. So they're going to stay for 4 days, 5 days, a week.
Will they be able
days.
To drop down into Cripple Creek and stuff? Or is that in the...
On the Ring to Peak.
Like,
on the Ring to Peak,
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like
they're
gonna... And that was a big part of the master plan is like, how do we connect all the communities that are around the peak to the trail and to each other?
So this would be a big deal for Cripple Creek.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
And these bike tourists, they spend, I forget the statistic, they spend an average of over $200 a day, I think, in the communities they stay in, plus hotels
like,
and stuff.
They're right up there, you know? Or they're getting to be right up there with the demographic of a golfer as far as the affluency and income of a cyclist.
And a lot of business people, like high-level business people, it used to be they would do business meetings on the golf course or at the tennis court. And now on the bike is very common as well. So you're starting to see a lot of these high level business people mm-hmm. using cycling and becoming cyclists. And so they generally are fairly affluent and are going to spend a lot of money. And so that's definitely stuff that we need to consider. And as a city go, yeah, we want that and go after it. Really. That's the thing. We have all the components to be that, live up to that world-class destination label, but we just gotta, as a city, get behind that a little bit and finish this Ring the Peak. So that piece of the puzzle, get the bike park.
You did talk about the quarry.
Yeah.
Tell me about that other one of you, because this grant actually also helps fund the quarry as well, or work on the quarry, or
not this grant specifically, okay. But this grant is in support of this regional vision plan that okay. PPRA wrote, and one of the projects is this downhill mountain bike park. And with the quarry, again, it goes back to our partnerships.
We like to call it the SCAR, if you're not familiar.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things I learned this last year is that the number one quality of life factor here in Colorado Springs is the scenic beauty. Mm-hmm. But then we have this giant SCAR on one side of our mountains. But this bike park, the dream, the vision in my head is like, how do we have this awesome downhill area that also connects to Ring the Peak, to all these other trails? And in a lot of ways, could be like a ski village, right? What if people are coming downhill, or we have a lift there, and then they come out and there's like a bike shop and some restaurants and a cafe right at the bottom?
That's
like, that is incredible, right? And that project is still moving, and there's still a lot to get done. Like, it is early stages, but
it's an incredible idea. But I heard it could be done in like 5 years. Mm-hmm. That the reclamation's already been done. Is yeah. that right or wrong?
So the reclamation's already been done. The next steps, I think the city is still figuring out if mm-hmm. they can take over the land in terms of management. And then there's going to be some more public engagement. That's really the next steps I know, which mm-hmm. I don't, because this is my job. I'm like, next steps day to day, right? But
there's some wild stories out there, right? They may or may not be true. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. Like a lift up there.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
So there is a vision for it. There's a lot of figuring out the details still to do. And there's a lot of folks that are much more in the day to day, medicine wheel, trail advocates. They know a lot more than I do about what is the most current information. But in the near future, there's definitely going to be more opportunities for the public to engage with that, figure out what we really want.
So there. What all does the grant cover? And yeah. do we have an estimated or goal timeline? I mean, it's, yeah. I guess it's just impossible to know when you're dealing with land managers and stakeholders
yeah.
how long that would take. But, you know, there has to be some workabouts or anything like that to actually make it happen.
Yeah. So the grant is a 3-year grant. And within it, there's a whole lot of pieces. The big ones are an outdoor ambassador program. So really people on the ground helping educate people how to take care of the trails we have and the recreation assets, ranging from climbing to OHV to biking. Like, how can we get all of the user groups informed about what goes on out there and what the different land managers expect and stuff like that? There's trail improvements. There's going to be the first trailhead for Ring the Peak in Ute Pass with El Paso County. And then, like you said earlier, Nick, there's going to be some camping development, both hopefully on the Ring the Peak Trail, but then also adjacent to it as spurs or connectors in Fremont County, which will be really cool. And I'm sure there's more. There's a whole lot of details in there. But those are the big things around Ring the Peak of what is the next steps to move that forward.
Now, you guys have a very exciting new addition to mm-hmm. the PPRA team. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Nick Reagan of Switchbacks fame.
He helped start the whole thing.
Yeah, he started it with the family. And they got to
our downtown soccer stadium and
yeah,
like world-class
recent national champs.
Yeah.
And he joined the team also just about last month. And so he's still drinking from a fire hose. But one of the things he said when he was looking to sell the Switchbacks was really, we're a family. I'm an individual who wants to build things. And when he moved on from the Switchbacks, PPRA and Becky had been talking to him about, well, what's the next thing you want to build? And why isn't it outdoor recreation? Why isn't it biking? Why isn't it all these other outdoor things? And so he joined the team just last month, and we're really excited to have him and getting him up to speed and getting him out there and helping us tell this vision, tell this story about the amazing things we have here and getting the word out.
What is the role? What's the title?
Yeah, Director of Strategic Development. Big corporate yeah. words in my mind, but really being strategic about how we tell the stories here and how we move some of these things forward.
Yeah, and I think his experience and knowledge and connections from the Switchbacks and that whole thing are going to be super, super helpful to connect the right people together. And he's a smart guy. He's going to add a lot of value and have a lot of helpful advice and connections and stuff that I think will help get this moving forward for sure.
And one of the things I was talking to him about just yesterday, and I love it when he talks about this, is the reason he built the Switchbacks was to give the community something to be proud of. And that's really what I see with Ring the Peak, with outdoor recreation here in the Springs, is not only how can we bring these world-class athletes here, how can we bring these endurance cyclists, endurance runners, superstar climbers, whoever they may be, but how can we also give the community something that we're really proud of, that we want to scream from the rooftops, this is our home, this is what we love, this is who we are.
Yeah. This is what makes those people want to move here.
Exactly.
In addition to vacation here.
Yeah.
Once you come, it's hard to want to go anywhere. I mean, I stayed. Came for a visit, left with a house. So what do you guys need? What do you need from the community to help support this?
I think being excited about it is the first big thing. If you are excited about it, talking about it, that just puts the word out there more, both with our partners, with land managers, of just, we're excited about this as a community. I think if you can connect with any of our partners or just with PPRA, like my email is somewhere on our website. Please reach out to me if you have any questions.
What's the website?
PPRA.org. Yeah, pretty simple. And we're happy to get you connected with whichever partners you resonate with most, whether that's trail work and you want to get connected with RIMFI or any of our biking organizations or whoever, helping just figure out what those specific parts are. As PPRA, like I said, we bring everyone together. So we're also looking at all the projects going on. So sometimes we've got this 30,000 foot view, and I always am sad when people come to me and are like, how can we help? Can we volunteer? Do you have volunteer days? And I'm like, well, that's not really our role, but I know people who have volunteer days, right? So that's the big thing. Just keep talking about it, be excited, and follow up with Trails and Open Space Coalition, RIMFI, MedWheel, COSIMBA, Nick, me, whoever, anyone that you know that's doing outdoor stuff, and keep supporting the things that you're excited about.
Yeah.
Where does $2.5 million fall in the need to actually do the project and complete it? It sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money, but it's also a drop in the bucket when it comes to it. A lot of it depends on crazy things like cost of materials for trail building, or trail builders are, every year it becomes more expensive because of trying to pay people fair wages, which is a good thing. I'm not complaining about that. But then materials are expensive, and so it changes all the time. But even with that grant, we already have at least $2.5 million in match funding. So we're looking at $5-6 million in investment just for the few projects in here. And it's going to take a lot more than that to complete the whole ring. So it's going to take a lot. That could be scary or it could be exciting. We are getting the investment started. A lot of people are excited about this. A lot of people want to help this. And really just keeping that ball moving is the next big piece.
Yeah, I think the grant just creates that snowball effect, the momentum, like that grant then gets some matching funds. And then when people see how big the pool is getting, they are willing to contribute much more when they see, hey, we might actually get there. And so it can create that momentum that's needed. And then another place people can plug in is really when public feedback is asked for, show up and give some in support, because there will be a lot of public engagement as they go to complete some of these sections and all that kind of stuff. And the connectivity we're talking about, you want to engage in support of, because there will be naysayers that come along because it ruins the view out their back
of
window
the
or whatever of the scars and things like that, or causes traffic on their street or whatever. So there will be people who all angry about it, and they're going to voice their opinion for sure. But if we can get a lot more in support, that's helpful. And that's an easy way to help. And then to make those funds go further, if some of these trail organizations can drum up more volunteers so that it is cheaper for them to build these sections of trails that we need to complete, that brings the cost down, right? So when we get to the point where we're putting shovels in dirt, if you can come out and be a volunteer, if you've got the time, if you want to help yeah, absolutely get out there. And like with MedWheel, Cosimba, with RIMFI, those three organizations in particular are definitely going to be looking for volunteers, and having volunteer days definitely.
I do think it's the community understanding the economics behind it, because it's not just for bicyclists. The economic impact of these changes will be huge for our communities, because you see how, like, I can't afford to buy a place in Bentonville or Fruita now. Yeah. And so it's great for the economy. It's great for everyone. And I'm on the board of Visit Colorado Springs, and there's a campaign right now, like, tourism pays. Yeah. That's how we have nice things right. in our community. And right. speaking of the board, we had Nick Reagan. He came and spoke to our board this week. And one of the things that he talked about was, like, one of his jobs is just to go start knocking on the doors of the stakeholders. I don't know if anybody's actually knocked on the doors and said, can we please? Yeah. Is that true?
Well, I think there's...
Do you need more door knockers? I'll come and knock yeah. on doors with you.
There's yeah. different pieces to it. But I think that, right, this whole process of the last few years has been a lot of doing that. But then there's always more to be done, especially when you start talking about there's portions of the Ring of the Peak that may or may not have to go over private property. And that's some of the engagement that we haven't done, but it's because we want to be really sure that we're ready. And then we also have the backing of land managers to say, this might be a trail through the back portion of your property, but we have a really solid management plan so that yeah. you're not going to be in trouble if something happens. Yeah, yeah. So don't go knocking on strangers' doors quite yet. Yeah. But like Nick has said, and I've said, of like,
maybe at the base scar.
Yeah, yeah. No, but like we said, just keep in the loop with the organizations yeah. that are doing this work, because when it is time to knock on doors, they're going to be the ones that are going to be looking for volunteers for help doing right. that.
Are these organizations also facing cutbacks and funding at all? Like, is it more important than ever to really jump in as community support for a lot of these?
There definitely is some. I think with this big grant, PPRA is lucky because that's GoCo funding, which has been pretty secure. But just with everything going on, there's always a little bit of uncertainty. And some organizations are hit far worse than others. Youth Corps, I know for sure, which are a big trail building force across Colorado, were hit hard by some of the federal cuts. So definitely be aware that some organizations maybe are doing better than others, but there's definitely a lot that needs some pretty urgent support right now.
For sure. Yeah, I think just the last few years, like the nonprofit sector and any government-connected organization, both have experienced drops in funding because everyone's feeling the squeeze a little bit economically, I think, and so fewer people are giving money. But if you can, definitely do. I think it's super important now more than ever, especially as we're building this momentum. The last thing we want is it to peter out because we can't get enough funding to these organizations that can take do the actual labor, right, and make it happen. And if you can, please, I would love to see some of these organizations have funding pouring in so that they can really have the bandwidth to do the things yeah. that are needed.
Yeah. And Colorado Springs is really special when it comes to that. I've heard facts. I haven't fact checked some of these, but the strength of the nonprofits here, the strength of the volunteers here in terms of how many, but also in terms of just like the work that we're doing is pretty incredible. And it's a special place to know that the nonprofits here are really putting as much money as they can towards programs and on the ground work. The volunteers are super dedicated and abundant. All of that sounds pretty good, but it never hurts to have more, right? There's a lot of good things going on, and the snowball effect of the more that we can add to that snowball, the more momentum we have, the more that we're going to be able to get done.
Yeah.
So it's like PPRA.org, MedWheel.org, TrailsandOpenSpaces.org, RIMFI.org, right?
I think so, yeah.
We'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah, let's put them in the show notes. Yeah, I don't want to misquote any of those. Yeah.
Anything else, guys?
No, thank you for having us. This is awesome. Yeah. And
I mean, I've never been this excited in winter about cycling in the Colorado Springs, other than the fact that we're having an amazing winter. This is probably the most exciting thing that's happened in the winter to get me excited about biking. And I think I would put that on my list for things that I want to do is take on that trail. So
for sure.
I'm stoked. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm stoked.
Can't wait.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you so much. It was an awesome time. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was great.
And thank you for listening and watching Pedal the Springs podcast, brought to you by the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, the only bike-themed lodging in Colorado Springs in the Pikes Peak region. Be sure to check out the show links for things that we talked about in this episode and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out the other fine podcasts at Studio 809 Podcasts. We're coming to you from the Studio 809 Podcast Studio at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in Colorado Springs. See you next time.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.